be here at Welcome Grove. We count it an honor each time that we get to go to be in God's house, especially when we get to stand. And as the Gideons distribute the Word of God in their way, Jeff, we try to distribute the Word of God in our way. God called us to preach about 30 years ago, and I still don't know how to do this. Never have learned how, but I still love to try. And the Gideons. I worked with them back in the late 70s and the early 80s with Brother Linstead, I believe was his name. And if I got that correct, but it's a good work that they do. And I know anything that you can do to help their work along, God will bless you in doing it. So, but you pray tonight for us. Won't hold you long. Got just a few verses on our heart. I had a thought last week about Christian Lockjaw, but that has left me, so that'll be for another time. But the Lord laid this on our heart this evening when we left here and started home. Jeff asked us to come back tonight, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here, be with Brother Jeff. Saw Jeff grow up from a boy to a man, and I sure am glad he's God's man. We appreciate him, his family. We've known him for years, and they've been a great blessing to us. And y'all got you a good man as your pastor. You take care of him, and you love him, because I tell you, he'll do everything that he can to help you. I know him that well. Chapter 9 in the book of St. John, if you want to read with us. This is very familiar. I've used it before, and I know you others has heard it preached many times, probably before, but this is what God's laid on their heart. And Brother Wayne Daniels, my pastor, always told me, he said, you just preach what God gives you, no more and no less. And I found out if we'll do that, if we'll just preach the gospel, you'll win more souls than anything else. You know, we can split hair over doctrine till the cows come home, and that won't really accomplish anything. You know, it doesn't matter to me if people want to ride white horses or brown mules or spotted cows or whatever. The main goal, Brother Jeff, in my life, as the brother said, is to win souls to Christ. Some of us has got to plant, and some of us has got to water. And let's pray God to give the increase tonight. John chapter number 9, St. John chapter number 9. I'd like to read the first 7 verses in your hearing tonight, the Lord being our helper. Starting in verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. Now, if that's correctly read, that's the first 7 verses from St. John. And you pray for just a few minutes. But I thought about this today. You know, being blind, he was talking about a man here that had a natural handicap. And I don't know how he felt, because I've never been naturally blind. I was born with my vision, and I've always been able to see. My vision's not as good as it used to be, Jeff, but I can still see. But I believe that this man here had never seen anything. The Bible said he was born blind, so he didn't know what the sky blue meant. He didn't know what the grass green meant, because he had never seen anything like that. And I can't relate with that, if you know what I'm saying, because I've never been there. But there's another blindness that's a spiritual blindness that I can relate to, because I've been there. Amen. I mean, at one time I was spiritually blinded from the goodness of God. I didn't see, and that was about 45 years ago. But ain't you glad that the Bible said here, and Jesus passed by? And now something happened when Jesus passed by that had never happened before in this man's life before. And I thought about this,
And if I had a thought, one above the other, a text or anything like that, it would be I heard his voice and I felt his touch. Now, this man was blind, so he couldn't see Jesus. He didn't know what he looked like, but he heard him. He heard his voice. And Jeff, I don't know, that night I got saved, I didn't see him. But I heard his voice. I heard him speaking to my heart. I heard the Holy Ghost speaking to my heart and condemning me of my sins. Now, I never heard that voice like that time before in my life. You see, I was raised in church. I'd went to church all my life just about. Ever since I could remember, I'd sung in a choir, in a little children's choir. I'd been in a Sunday school class, and I had my little testament and all that. I got saved when I was 12 years old, and I didn't know about that, about being lost, because I wasn't lost till I got lost. You know what I'm saying? But that night, that Thursday night in 1960, I heard that voice speaking to my heart, and I saw no man. But I realized right then, I knew I saw myself just as God saw me. Jeff, I was just as lost as the drunkard's boy was. I needed Jesus to be my Savior. And I never will forget that. There's a lot of things that I forgot, but I won't ever forget that. I don't ever want to forget that. Don't believe I ever will. I've been to hospitals. I've been to nursing homes. And people that they say, you know, they got Alzheimer's disease. But there's something about that voice, that name, when we say they may be blind laying on that bed of affliction. But there's something about when you just mention Jesus' name, that little old saint of God will bring a smile on their face. You know that? Somebody said, well, preacher, their mind's not right. Jesus doesn't control. He's not in our minds. He's in our hearts. Amen. Listen, when Jesus convicted me, the Holy Ghost didn't convict my mind. He convicted my heart. Amen. And when I got saved, he saved one that had a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So my friend, listen, we don't see Jesus. You know what I think our problem is today with folks? They want to see a sign. They want to naturally see something happen. They waiting to see something happen. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord told them in one place. He said, and there'll be no sign given. My friend, you've got the prophets. And that's all. We've got the gospel that the Gideon spread out, that the men of God preach. That's what we've got today. And if you ever get saved, it's going to be that away. Amen. We sang this morning, the church did here. They sang that song about there's just one way. And Jeff, I got to thanking shortly to God. They're going to sing that other song in that same book that said, I found that way. Amen. I'm glad that I found that way. My friend, from spiritual darkness unto spiritual light. Amen. Sure, brother. We fell short. As long as we're in this body, as long as we're in this life, as long as we're in this world, we're going to make mistakes. Listen, we know that. I'm going to make mistakes. We're supposed to strive to do better. We're supposed to do everything that we can. But we're going to make mistakes. But once our blinded eyes is open, then we can see. And when, my friend, when we get saved, we walk in the light. We're no more in darkness. We're supposed to be that Christ wants us to be. Somebody one time said, preacher, well, you think you're perfect. And I said, no, I don't. I hadn't reached that state of perfection yet. I'm on my way. I'm going to reach it one day. When I drop off this robe of flesh and I put on that new glorified body, I've reached that state of perfection, but not until then. My friend, listen today. We need the Lord's light in our life. Listen, our eyes have been opened because we're saved, but we live in an age and a society when the doors of churches like we're in tonight, where the gospel is still being preached, the devil wants to shut the door. Did you know the scripture says, and I'm still in the book, the scripture says that the Lord's hand's not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear too heavy that it cannot hear. I hadn't heard about anybody being saved in a while until tonight. And Lois said that those kids got saved. Ain't that wonderful? You know, we ought to rejoice tonight. I thought about when he was talking about all the countries that they go into and all the things that they do. Everybody's got a part. We was once blind, but now we can see. Hey, man, listen, I didn't see him. My friend, listen, but I heard him. If you got saved tonight, you heard the same voice that I did. Amen. Listen, never seen him. My friend, the Bible said that Jesus went to this man as he passed by. The Bible said he took clay
and made spittle, anointed his eyes, and told him to go down to the pool of Siloam and wash. And the Bible said he did, and he came back seeing. You know, there's always been murmurs and complainers around. You know that? Always when good's are, evil's always present. Did you know that? My friend, they started to question these people. They started, are you the one that was blind? Yes, I'm he. Well, what happened to your eyes? You know, we want to criticize people for doing a work. Jeff said he didn't understand exactly how the Gideons believed. I don't understand either. I don't understand exactly how Jeff believes. Jeff don't understand exactly how I believe. Listen, friend, but the main thing is win people to Christ. Get people to believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the main thing. It doesn't matter if you ever remember the name of Gideons. It doesn't matter if you ever remember the name or know the name of Jeff Clark or Jimmy Elsie. That's not going to, 100 years, that ain't going to matter. It's not going to matter 100 years what church you went to. It's not going to matter what organization you belong to. What's going to matter tonight if you've been able to see Jesus Christ, amen, as your Savior. Your Savior. You should go down to the pool and wash. He came back seeing. I'm going to tell you something. I've heard preachers say this before, and I'll say it again. He touched him when he made that spittle. When I got saved that night, he touched me. He touched me. And I'm going to tell you something. That ain't the only time that he's touched me. When you get in that dark and lowest valley, he'll touch you. Preacher, I don't feel him no more. Let him touch you. Let him touch you. Let the Lord work in your life. There's a lot of things in this life, Jeff, that you could have done. God didn't force you to preach. I know he made life rough. I know he didn't me. But God called, and I made every excuse that I could. I said, I don't have much education. I can't do it. He said, I'll take care of that. I can't read too good. He said, I'll take care of that. You just open it up. Ain't it amazing? Ain't it amazing how God works? Jeff preached this morning about, we ain't got no excuse. One writer said, oh, thou man, thou art unexcusable. We're without an excuse. As we've had this, eyes opened and blinded. Once blinded, then we didn't know what was right. You know, you can't do that. When you don't know Christ, you can't work the works of him that sent us. When you're lost without God, you can put on a show. You know what the definition, I'm going to say this. You know what the definition of a hypocrite is? It's just real simple. I don't know what Webster says, but a hypocrite's a pretender. Pretending to be something that you're not. That's all it is. But you know what? When you're a truly born again child of God, you can see. There's things you can see that you couldn't see before. Went on, they said, they questioned the parents. They said, is not this your son that was blind? And now he's seeing. What? What's happened to him? Who done this thing to him? And back in that day, they were afraid of the persecutors, the Jews. You know, this afraid. And they said, ask him. He's of age. You say, you don't have to go ask my wife about me. You can ask me. I can tell you about my salvation. You don't have to have the preacher tell them about Jimmy Elsie. When I got saved, you know what this right here grabs me, Jeff, and I hope you hadn't done it. I know you ain't. But I hate for a preacher to get up when somebody has got saved and give their testimony. Don't you? Don't you? I don't want nobody to tell people for me that I'm saved. I'll tell you myself I'm saved. I'm of age. The Bible said when we believe within our heart and confess with the mouth, then it's made into salvation. Well, preacher, I ain't never confessed it. You might as well see if you're saved. I was the most backwards and bashfulest person you ever seen when I got saved. But when I got saved, I couldn't wait to get to school to tell everybody that I'd got saved. You ain't ashamed of it? No, sir. That's the best thing that happened. I've been married for 40 years. And I love my wife, but I wouldn't trade my salvation for her. Amen? When we can see, when we're saved, we can see. And then, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Then he touches us. There's a song that we still sing occasionally. He touched me. When you're down and when you think you're out, you're really not. You're just down. He touches us. He touches us. Let me share this with you. We lost our son July the 8th. Buried him, and 2 weeks later, my wife had a heart attack. 1 week later, I had a nervous breakdown. All hope was almost lost. You know what I've done, Jeff? Check that anchor. It's still holding. Just hold on. I went to doctors after doctors, you know, I appreciate doctors. Don't misunderstand me. But I just got worse. I was kind of like that woman that spent everything she had. Had a 12 years, she had an issue of blood. I can kind of relate to that. And I realized if I can just get to where he's at. Well, who sinned, preacher? Did you sin or did your wife sin? We neither sinned. But that the glory of God might be manifested. You see, what's wrong in your life is for good if you're a child of God. Romans 8:28, all things work to good to them that love God and who are called according to His purpose. You see, there's a reason that's happening. Preacher, I'm going through a real valley right now. There's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. I thought there for a while, you know, like, well, you ever got on a pity quit? Be honest about it. Feeling sorry for me. Got the blues. I've been there, ain't you? But you know what? I got thinking about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. A man that knew no sin became sin for me. He who was rich became poor, that through his poverty we could become rich. And I want to feel sorry for me. A man that walked to a place of the skull called Golgotha, Calvary's Hill, and hung between two thieves and gave his every drop of blood and said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what. And I want to feel sorry for me. No. You're right, Jeff. We're inexcusable. If God wants us to do something, we better do it. He touches us. He saved us by His grace. And they said to the mom and daddy, said, why? I mean, who's done this thing? We don't know. You ask him, he's of age. So they go back to the son. Who's done this thing? Who's done this thing? He said, I've done told you. But I'll tell you again. A man called Jesus. Was he a sinner? Sinner, I don't know where he was or not. This one thing I do know. I was blind, and now I see. You ever had people say, how does he save you? I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it, but this one thing I do know. I was once lost, and now I'm saved. Oh, Wayne, you say, I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass. Give white milk, make yaller butter. I don't either. He said, I ain't going to try to figure it out neither, because I like milk and butter too good. Amen. I don't know how he does these things. He does them. He'll touch you if you'll let him. He'll touch you if you'll let him. He'll say, go. Go. I'll be with you. You say, preacher, it seems like it's just a struggle to get through. Just a struggle to get through. You know, we sang the song, we've gone the last mile of the way. You know, Jeff, I may be preaching for my last time tonight. But you know what old Paul said? He said, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. I'm going to get through it. Somebody said the other day, said, you're going to make it? I said, I know I am. I'm just existing. Here, when I get over yonder, I'm going to live. From here to there, it's going to be a rough trip. Amen? Sometimes it's rougher on some than others, it seems like. But the Bible, people say get saved and your troubles is over. No, get saved and your troubles start. Devil goes to work on you, trying to keep you from getting saved. And then when you get saved, he goes to work on you trying to keep you sitting on your pew with your mouth, or that Christian lockjaw, with your mouth shut, so you won't win nobody else to Christ. It ain't worth it, preacher, sure it is. I'm going to give it up, preacher. Quitters don't win. And winners don't quit. I don't know about you, but I'm on the winning side. On the winning side. I'm just about top my hill. I done lived longer than I'm going behind me than is in front of me. Wife, we was married 25 years, and I like to pick on her, and she don't mind. She said, let's have us a reunion of the vows, silver anniversary. I said, let's just wait till we do the gold. You know how us men are. We try to get out of these things. So she said, okay. So the other day she said, let's do it 40 years. I said, what's the matter? She said, I don't think me and you going to make it to 50. So I'm kind of going along with you, but I told her this scene. I said, it ain't no done deal yet, you know. But listen, I said that to say this. We don't know how much time's left for us. And I made this statement, Jeff, and in closing, I'm going to make it one more time. And I appreciate you having me here. I want my last days, God, by the grace of God, to be my best days for my Lord. I do. These last days that we've got left, I want to do the best I can. I want to do better than I done yesterday. That ought to be our heart's desire. Preacher, listen, I can't sing. Well, I can't neither. Well, preacher, I can't preach. I can't neither. Preacher, I can't teach. Well, I can't neither. Just do the best you can with what you got. Amen. There's a little old woman one time, and you know these people, they come around, they were giving their tithes and offerings and from their abundance. They was giving a lot, no doubt, Jeff. And there's this little woman, she didn't have but two mites to give. But you know what? That's all she had. She'd give it everything. She gave it all. And that woman, I believe, now this is just my personal belief on it. I believe that woman was blessed a lot more than those others that gave from their abundance. I believe if you'll give God your all, I know He will. When you give God your all, everything you've got, then He'll open up that honey spout from heaven. And He'll just pour out a blessing that you won't be able to contain. I believe that, don't you? You know, listen, folks, and I thought about this morning when Jeff was preaching. These right here is altars for saved people. Now, let's get this now. Altars is for saved people. They're mourner's benches for lost people. There's a fella, I was pastoring a church in Henry County one time, and there's a fella come, and he said, I don't believe that Christians should go to an altar and pray. I said, why? He said, that's for sinners. I said, Abraham, when journeying from place to place, everywhere he pitched his tent, built an altar, what kind of man was Abraham? You know that man got mad at me. There ain't nothing wrong with praying. Jesus himself said men ought to always pray. Bible said we're to pray without ceasing. Prayers go up, blessings come down. Ain't that wonderful? The closer you are with God, the more power you've got. I guarantee you. You get somebody close with God. Listen, this man right here, his eyes was open. And this, you read the whole chapter. But later on, down there, in this part, he said, I don't know where you're sinner or not. All I know, I was blind and now I can see. But later on, when Jesus came back to him, he asked him, said, you believe in the Father? You believe in Him, the Lord? He said, who is it? Tell me so I can believe in Him. He said, it's He that you're speaking to. He said, Lord, I believe. I couldn't see Him when He saved me, but I heard Him. I felt His touch, but one day I'm going to see Him. Every eye is going to see Him. Every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess. Even to them that pierced His side. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't that wonderful? Thank God. Jeff, I'm so glad that I'm going to be one of them. He's going to say, enter in. Enter in. I'm sure I'm glad I'm not one of them. He's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. Lord, we've done many things in Your name. You're still blind. Still blind. Jeff comes, I'm done. Let's stand again. Let's just, if we could, just sing a verse of song, if it'd be all right. And you know, you may be here tonight and you just kind of got slack in your prayer life. You may be kind of feeling sorry for yourself. I'm going to tell you something. You got a lot more going for you than you think you have. I'd rather be saved than I had to be the President of the United States.
Lord, you touch those that are here tonight.
We've got a greater power,
pray, dear God, Lord, you help
than
us
the atomic
all, Lord,
bomb.
Power.
We do.
Lord,
we're serving a God that spoke this thing into existence. We're serving a God that's going
to
speak it out of existence. Son, go get your church. The angels don't know the time. The sun don't know the time. We don't know the time. But the Bible said that we can look at these things that come upon us. If we've ever lived in the last days, we're living in them now. I was looking for the Lord to come yesterday, wouldn't you? I'm looking for Him to come back before the sun comes up. Preacher, how do you know He's going to come? There's a teacher one time who went to some classes. Let me say this.
He said, this has got to happen, and this has got to happen, and this has got to happen before he comes. Everything is, if he come now, you'll be in just doing it. Let me say it like that. He can come whenever God says come.
Yes, that's right.
It's over. If you're not ready to meet him, friend, you're going to be left out.
Amen.
It's going to be too late then. The Bible said today. It says now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I don't know your heart. You may be lost here tonight. If you are, you need to get saved. I'm going to tell you that. You need to get saved.
Yes,
above everything else. You may be here tonight and been saved and just walking contrary to God. Not a good church member as I used to be. Shame on you. Shame on you. You know, if we'd do a little more working around the house of God, doing things for God, and a little less doing things for our own self. I preached a message one time on joy. Like this, Jeff, I'm trying to hush. J-O-Y, if you want to have joy, it's Jesus first, it's others second, and it's yourself last. If you'll do them three in that order, you'll have joy. If you'll do it. So how about it tonight? As we sing this song, is there anything you want to pray about? You don't have to tell Jeff what you're praying about, because you see, really, it ain't none of his business. You remember when that little woman went to the temple to pray for the man child? That old nosy preacher was standing there trying to hear what she said. She was praying for her a man child. It wasn't none of his business. It's between her and the Lord.
That's right.
I'm glad. Listen, when I bow down to Jeff and pray, I don't tell my wife what I'm praying. We pray together sometimes. There's sometimes, just like that song says in the song books, there's time I like to be all alone. Just me. You see, there's some things I can tell him I can't tell her. Ain't that wonderful?
Yeah.
He listens. There's things that she can't do nothing about that he can. He can. Friends is good. Thank God for friends.
Yeah.
Jeff, you're my friend. You'll be my friend. But I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
That's right, brother.
Ain't that wonderful? It doesn't matter if it's midnight. It doesn't matter if it's noonday. He's always ready to listen. So how about it? Would you come tonight and just lay that burden down? You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. You want some rest? You want that peace that we sang about earlier? Turn it over to him. Go ahead and sing, if you would, brother. How about it? Need some peace. Need some joy.
I was once more. Jesus did his part. And the preachers will do their part. The prayers will do their part. But you got a part you got to do, and that's believing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I appreciate Brother Tom. I don't have my little card up here. It's Wallace.
Edwards.
Sorry about that. I ain't got my little card up here, but I knew it was Brother Tom. I appreciate him being here tonight. It was a blessing. Some of the stories that he shared and what the Gideons accomplished. Appreciate Brother Jimmy. I hadn't got to be with him much in the last several years. His pastor and Wiz pastor and going here and there and both doing the work of the Lord. But I appreciate him. He's been a huge blessing in my life. And you can't say this about a lot of people, but I ain't never seen him do anything either way. As a pastor in church or out churches, outside of church as a friend, that says a lot. And for his character, I appreciate him. People like that pave the way. Makes it a little easier for some of us younger to come in and do work behind them. But I appreciate him and his companion. Don't say too much about Donna. She's quiet back there, but she's faithful to be with her husband. Appreciate her being with us tonight. Go ask Ryan if he'd come and get one of these plates. And I'm going to let him stand on one side. And that way you'll know which one's which. Hopefully y'all won't get Ryan and Don mixed up. Amen. Ryan be a little boy and my boy. If you got something that you need to give to Welcome Road Baptist Church, tithes, offerings, anything like that, that you wasn't here this morning or for whatever reason, then he'll be standing on one side of the door back there. And we'll get Brother Don, if he can get another plate, and go with Ryan. You got something to give to the Gideons, make sure Brother Don gets it. And then he'll take it and count all of it. And it'll go to the work of the Gideons. And I do that because I want to make sure the church took care of. I want to make sure they're took care of. And I believe he feels the same way. Don't use your tithes to go to other places. The Bible says the tithes come to the storehouse. But it's an offering what you're giving to the Gideons. Up and above that, that belongs to the Lord. And I promise you, you'll never, never go wrong by giving more to God. He'll bless you abundantly.